It's May 13th, the first day after the deadline for free agents to count against the compensatory draft pick formula in the NFL. To give his thoughts on the impact and the Green Bay Packers roster makeup, we bring in Peter Bukowski of Sports Illustrated. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Glad to have you join us this morning. We're talking about the roster of the Green Bay Packers, and to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning. We have Peter Bukowski of Sports Illustrated. Mr. Bukowski, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good, Mr. Caribou. How are you?
Very good. Glad you could join us. So the deadline for free agents to count against the compensatory draft pick formula has come and gone, and we're talking about some awful technical and nerdy NFL stuff here. But what I want to know from you is there any chance now that the deadline is passed that the Packers go after some sort of veterans still on the market, players like Brandon Spikes or Lance Briggs? Is there a snowball's chance in hell of this happening?
Well, I think there's certainly fans out there who want to see it happen, right? I mean, that's what the discussion that happens in Green Bay every year. Is Ted Thompson going to make a move? There's a chance, I think, especially given the names out there, that, like you mentioned, I think maybe perhaps more likely we won't see that happen until after June 1, and we're going to see more cuts as training camp happens. I don't see, if I were to look into my crystal ball, of course, I don't see Green Bay doing that. I don't see them bringing in someone like Brandon Spikes especially. But you never know. That's the thing, and I guess if last year's offseason says anything about Ted Thompson with Julius Peppers and LaTroy Guyon, that you just never say never with Ted Thompson. You never know what he's going to do, and just when you think you've got him figured out, you know, he zigs when you think he's going to zag, and that's what makes him a great GM.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I'm not expecting it either, but you just never know. Yeah, I never would have thought the Packers would have signed Cedric Benson a few years ago, and they kind of signed him late in the game during the summer, so we'll see.
But... Well, and Ryan Grant was a late roster addition as well, and that turned out really well for Green Bay as well. So just because they don't make a splash doesn't mean they're not going to make a move that ends up having a large impact. We've seen Ted Thompson in the past sort of, you know, pluck guys off practice squads or other teams' rosters that don't value that player as much as maybe the Packers do, or don't have the right system to use that player, and all of a sudden he comes into Green Bay and produces. So that could happen as well. We just won't know when they sign him.
Yeah. Could be a date far in the future. On kind of a related note, and the only Deflategate question I'll ask here is it kind of relates to the Green Bay Packers in a small way. Do you think there's any chance Matt Flynn signs with the Patriots in light of the Tom Brady suspension, seeing as they only have three quarterbacks on their roster, and now the Packers can no longer possibly get any compensation for his loss?
You know, I suppose it's possible. Matt Flynn, Packer fans, I'm sure will remember in 2010 when Matt Flynn went into New England and played really under the circumstances exceptionally well against the Patriots. Yes. In a game that Green Bay really had a chance to win if it weren't for an unfortunate special teams mishap and a really bad pick six that Matt Flynn threw. But the Patriots seem to really like Jimmy Garoppolo. I guess that whether they have enough depth at that position, given how many games they're going to miss. That's the question for me at this point. We don't know what the Deflategate adjudication is going to be. Mm-hmm. Is the appeal going to be heard by the NFL? Is it going to be heard outside of the offices at Park Avenue, where Roger Goodell has a really poor track record? I'm not convinced Tom Brady is going to miss four games. I'm not convinced he's going to miss any games, to be honest with you. So I think it's a little early to make that sort of proclamation in terms of, do they need to go out and sign a quarterback? But certainly Maslin makes some sense. The Patriots are familiar with him, having faced him, but whether or not they're going to go out and sign someone else, I think that question is going to be answered by how the Deflategate appeal hearing and how that all gets adjudicated.
All right, coming back to this Green Bay Packers team, since the last episode of Railbird Central, the Packers have released defensive lineman Luther Robinson. And my question to you, Mr. Bukowski, is why did the Packers release Robinson? Because there wasn't any sort of failed physical designation. He ended last year on injured reserve. It doesn't appear as if they were clearing any room to sign tryout players. So why, when the roster is at 90, did the Packers release Luther Robinson, or any speculation thereof?
You know, I was a little surprised by that move. But I guess the more I thought about it, the more it made some sense, in just that they didn't see much of Robinson last year. They did bring in Andy Phillips, a rookie free agent who's an offensive lineman. The one play that stands out, obviously, in the minds of the Packers and the Packer fans is the play that he made on Christian Ponder that resulted in the Julius Peppers pick six, mm-hmm. which was a great play by Peppers. And Robinson did flash a little bit in that game and then sort of disappeared. I think it's possible that the writing was on the wall for this when they signed B.J. Raji and LaTroy Guy on. Then they draft Christian Ringo. I don't know if that makes Robinson dispensable. That is obviously something that Green Bay has to decide. But remember, Tyree Thornton was a third-round pick. They're going to want him to come back and contribute as well. So with open spots on the roster, it did seem a little strange that they would make this move. I don't know if there's something else going on or if he was injured. Obviously, that was not part of the announcement with that. I don't have a conspiracy theory for you. I'm sorry, Brian.
Fair enough. I don't either, but it just did seem curious to me. So I wonder why it happened when they didn't have to release him, I guess, you know, to create.
Right, that was the strange part.
Yeah. We're talking to Peter Bukowski of Sports Illustrated here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning, now also at 247sports.com. After the release of Luther Robinson, the Packers now, as I said, have two spots open on the roster. What do you think they're going to do with these roster spots?
You know, I guess that dovetails with your original question, and that is, if there are free agents out there, who are they looking at?
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that's the intuitive filler for those roster spots. You know, they already have a significant number of rookie free agents that they brought in, some of whom I really like, to be honest. So I think it's possible that they'll bring in some free agents, some guys that were on NFL teams last year, one or two. But I don't think it's going to be a big name. I don't think it's going to be a Brandon Spikes or a Lance Briggs. That's just not Ted Thompson's MO. I'd have to look. There's quite a list, obviously, at this point, of players who were on rosters last year that are not on rosters right now.
Mm-hmm.
But to see a lesser name, someone who maybe played special teams last year, I think if the draft showed us anything, to me anyway, it's that the Packers' focus this offseason has been to make their special teams significantly better. And I think Mike McCarthy's intentions to spend more time with the different position coaches and with the special teams in particular should have signaled that from the beginning of the offseason. But I think if there is a direction that makes sense to fill those roster spots, it's with veteran special teams contributors. That would make the most sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I can buy that certainly. I definitely agree with your assessment that the focus of the NFL draft was to improve the special teams, which were pitiful in Green Bay. The offense is great. The defense is okay. But the special teams was absolutely terrible. And if they're going to improve, they definitely need to improve in that area. I asked you the hard questions here. Now, did you watch Aaron Rodgers' appearance on Celebrity Jeopardy on Tuesday?
You know, I intended to watch it. I almost DVR'd it and just honestly forgot. I watched it 2 days ago. In bits, the Celebrity Jeopardy. I have to tell you, in the SI newsroom, the Jeopardy is something that we all sort of play together.
Okay.
And so the Celebrity Jeopardy is not really our favorite because the questions are a lot easier.
Yeah.
We think so. It's still sort of fun if there's fun people on it. And so obviously the Aaron Rodgers appearance, I did see that Alex Trebek did the discount double check, which I thought was pretty excellent. But I didn't get a chance to see it. Did you watch it?
I did. It was entertaining.
He won.
He raised $50,000 for the Mac Fund. I guess that's the big news, is that, you know, he did it for charity. Sure. And that's cool. So I thought he did better than I would have. That's for sure. I don't know if that's saying much, but
well, we know he's a smart guy.
Yeah,
he did go to Berkeley, but I do also watch The Apprentice. So it was fun. Mr. Wonderful is on there. So, or not The Apprentice, excuse me. Shark Tank.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm a little bummed that I missed it. But Aaron Rodgers has always been someone who's looking for opportunities to raise money for charity. And we know he loves Jeopardy. We know he loves Alex Trebek. So it's just, it makes sense. He's been trying to get on, apparently, for a while.
Yeah. In related Packers quarterback news here, were you surprised to hear about the sellout of Lambeau Field for the induction of Brett Favre into the Packers Hall of Fame, kind of in spite of his messy departure from Green Bay when everybody seemingly kind of swore him off, and now Lambeau Field's being sold out to see him come back?
No, it wasn't surprising to me. I think, you know, time heals all wounds in some ways. And I think also, you know, if Aaron Rodgers had become TJ Rubley 2.0, this wound doesn't heal quite so smoothly, right? I mean, that's just the reality, is if Ted Thompson had been wrong and Mike McCarthy had been wrong when they said, look, Brett, we made a commitment to Aaron Rodgers. You said you were retiring. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Rodgers turns out to be more like, even I think if he turns out to be closer to Alex Smith than the current, you know, what we know to Aaron Rodgers to be, then this gets a lot messier. And I think the fans have much more vitriol for Ted Thompson, although you may recall at the time there were plenty of fans who had plenty of vitriol for Ted Thompson when this all went down.
Mm-hmm.
But they won the Super Bowl, and Aaron Rodgers is a two-time MVP. And it seems as though Rodgers and Favre have sort of buried the hatchet. They've done the ESPY Awards, and, you know, I think Favre has become, it's come back around. Favre is a sympathetic figure again. People hopefully remember, and you know, I'm going to remember the 17 seasons that he played in Green Bay, the way that he was the face of that franchise for as long as he was. I don't fault him for wanting to go play, and frankly, I don't fault him for wanting to go to a team where he can play the Packers twice a year. I never faulted him for that. As a competitor, I understand why he'd want to do that. But it doesn't seem like he still holds any grudges, and I don't think Packers fans should either. So I think the winning has made it easier for Packers fans to forgive Favre, and obviously not all of them have. But there's going to be a lot of people who are going to dust off old number four jerseys that they did not burn in the street. And it's a great thing. You never want to see one of the franchise's greatest players have any sort of, issues with the fan base moving forward. And I think from this point on, you're only going to see positive reactions from people when you talk to Packer fans about Brett Favre.
Yeah, it's to sell out Lambeau Field, for an event that's not even a game. That'll be a sight to behold, I think, in July when he's inducted into the team's Hall of Fame. Peter, thanks so much for joining us. Peter Bukowski, a Wisconsin native, despite moving to New York, working for Sports Illustrated, do you still, and covering the game on a national level, do you still find yourself watching the Packers, following them more closely than other teams?
I mean, it's in your blood. That's my family has season tickets. Plenty of families I know have season tickets. I've been going to games since I was little, so that kind of thing you never lose that.
Well, I'm happy to talk Packers football with you. We're glad you joined the show, and we'll do it again sometime. It's been over a year since I had you last, so it's good to hear you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brian. Anytime.
All right, take care. All right.
Yep. You too.
Peter Bukowski of Sports Illustrated joining us at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning here at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us. And now it's time for
Packers News of the Day.
Sharing my two cents on the news that the Packers have released Luther Robinson since the last episode of Railbird Central actually happened on Monday. But two roster spots are now open on the Packers' 90-man offseason roster. And what I think the Packers are doing here are leaving themselves open to some roster flexibility, so to speak. I still think that the Green Bay Packers will re-sign defensive back Jarrett Bush. And I can understand where people might be against that, seeing as he's no longer on the sunny side of 30 years old, and he's kind of always been a liability in the defensive backfield. He's always been the better special teams player than he has been on defense. But I think if the Packers give Jarrett Bush a deal like they gave fullback John Kuhn, I think it's worth bringing him back because you could always cut him. I mean, Jarrett Bush is now 30, and it's possible that age catches up to him. But, they gave John Kuhn, I don't believe, any guaranteed money. It was all in the form of, like, workout bonuses that you have to earn. I mean, they could certainly do something very similar with Jarrett Bush. But, the bonus they gave John Kuhn, like $25,000, that's hardly impacting the salary cap either way, even if they pay it and they got to cut him later. I mean, I'm saying the Packers can always take Jarrett Bush on the roster right up to the regular season. If they see during preseason action that he is not the player he once was, doesn't have the speed he once was, his body is deteriorating, well, you cut him and you thank him for your service, and who knows, you do a little ceremony where you do the one-day ceremonial contract or something. I think that would be good for a guy like Jarrett Bush to honor what he's done for the Packers organization over the years. But, I think it's worth signing him because look at the Packers roster right now. Look at the names on the Packers roster. Tay Glover Wright, Gene Fenor. Okay? I think Bush, the team's special teams captain and a guy who had an interception in Super Bowl XLV, is at least worthy of a roster spot as these guys I just previously mentioned. And I'm not advocating the Packers release anyone either. There's no hurt in keeping them when the roster is at 90. They don't need the space right now, obviously. We just talked about with Peter Bukowski. They got these two spots open. They aren't in a hurry to fill them, at least with tryout players or anything like that. So, I mean, Jarrett Bush is at least as good as Tague Loveright and Gene Fenore, particularly from a special teams standpoint. And with the Packers losing veterans like Tremon Williams and Devon House in this offseason to the Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars, respectively, in free agency, I think it's worth having a veteran presence like Bush around for these young guys on the team. To be the guy they can kind of look up to, a guy who they know whose work ethic has been applauded by the Packers coaching staff over the years. You saw Mike McCarthy, have some words of praise for Jarrett Bush this past weekend during rookie minicamp when news came up that they gave away his number 24 to Quentin Rollins. And Mike McCarthy said that it was premature to do that. And I kind of agree that I think they could very much bring him back yet. So there could be one of those two roster spots the Packers have. You know, what they do with the other one. I asked Twitter before the show, I said, what are they going to do with these two roster spots? Who are they saving them for? Here's some of the responses I received on Twitter from Mick Tyson on Twitter. He says two camp bodies. So basically nobody that they bring in, I guess. Do You Rant on Twitter says, I think they will bring in a veteran with one of the two spots. So going after the perhaps free agent route. I mean, they're all free agents at this point, but the veteran free agent. Salvador Dacqui says, I guess they'll look in to fill these spots as soon as other teams start cutting players. Could be. Joe Garnero on Twitter says, potentially nothing, maybe save it for an injury. So there you go. There's what Packers Nation thinks about these two open roster spots. Nothing sexy about any of those responses there. Nobody out there had advocated that they're actually going to sign Brandon Spikes or something like that. I keep bringing up the name of Brandon Spikes because I think he's the biggest name left on the free agent market and kind of was all along thought to be one of the top inside linebackers. And that's, where the Packers had their perceived need, heading into the off season, but kind of leads us into our next segment.
The day ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday. It's the first day after the May 12th free agency deadline, as I've said many times here. And I guess what I wanted to bring up here is that the Packers could have competition for the likes of Brandon Spikes and Lance Briggs, the former Buffalo Bill and Chicago Bear, respectively, where they spent the 2014 seasons in the NFL. And apparently the Bills are not going to bring back Brandon Spikes, and apparently the Chicago Bears are not going to offer a contract to Lance Briggs. But just throwing this out there for the audience, Spikes recently visited the New England Patriots, where he actually spent time earlier in his career. I believe he was drafted into the Patriots organization. And so they're thinking of bringing him back. In fact, this news broke shortly after the Deflategate, ramifications after the NFL released that news the other day that Tom Brady was being suspended, that the Patriots organization would be fined. It almost seemed as if, the Patriots were kind of deflecting attention away from the bad news that they had just received, that they were checking out a possible free agent to be. I don't know whether they were or they weren't, but it's true, or reportedly, that Spikes visited the Patriots, so Packers may not be the only team interested there. And likewise, the San Francisco 49ers are reportedly considering Lance Briggs. I believe this report comes from CSN Bay Area out in California, which is kind of weird, seeing as the 49ers had already signed former Packers linebacker Desmond Bishop earlier this offseason. So, you know, the 49ers, they're already getting pretty old at the position, but they're, you know, apparently, you know, they're trying to offset these losses in the offseason of Chris Borland to retirement and Navarro Bowman. So, you know, the 49ers have received some bad news at the linebacker position, inside linebacker position, during the offseason, and now apparently trying to build up a little depth there, or trying to find some you know, in the case of Lance Briggs and Desmond Bishop, stopgaps, I would suppose. I don't know what else you call them at this point, because they're definitely not going to be around for the long haul. You know, I'm not even sure that the contract Bishop received, it was, I assume it's for only 1 year. Maybe it was a 2 year contract, but hard to believe it was anything more than that. And, you know, you probably only see the same thing for Lance Briggs, just a 1 year, trying to see if he's got anything left in him. But that's kind of what you're looking forward to on this Wednesday here, as the, you know, there's, it's kind of the slow time in the NFL here in terms of the NFL draft is over, and now OTAs have yet to start. We still got another week to go for that. So kind of a little bit of a slow period, a little bit of a lull right now. It'll pick up once OTAs happen, once practices happen. Hopefully we're not talking about any injuries, as we've seen with Dante Fowler out in Jacksonville and Jeff Heuerman in Denver. Two, you know, draft picks who have already suffered ACL tears. That's the news we don't want to talk about on this show, but hopefully we have some, you know, news to talk about nonetheless as the Packers hit the practice field. We'll see how the rookies are integrated into the team. It'll be interesting to see, you know, where, you know, are they practicing with the starters, things like that, you know, especially, you know, guys like Demaryius Randall, Quentin Rollins, who are thought, you know, could have a chance to play right away. Be interesting to see how they fit in, especially. So kind of waiting on that, but that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central here at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. And I haven't done this for a few weeks here. A call to action. Folks, if you have not done so, please give us a rating on iTunes. This show comes to you free of charge. There's no subscription. There's no paywall. Do us this one small favor, and it helps get the word out about the show. And I'm glad that, you know, since moving to 24/7 Sports, the show has kind of seen increased viewership, especially on the live stream platform, the streaming video, which is great. So it's growing, and I want to grow even more. I want this to reach Packers fans out there who are hungry for off-season, you know, talk, discussion about the team. I think this is one of the few places that actually happens out there. As in-depth as it does, as it does talking about the May 12th free agency deadline. But so give us a rating on iTunes. Would appreciate it. We leave the rating up to you. I just ask that you do it, and helps us, like I said, get the word out about the show. So thanks a lot if you do that. Thanks to Peter Bukowski of Sports Illustrated for joining us this morning. Glad to have his insight on the show. We'll see you later, folks. We'll be back again on Friday with another episode at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, live every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, on demand and podcasted later in the day. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Can't Wait Another Day by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. Every night I pace the hall.